Okay, we started this last week and a couple of things we were focusing on, and I began by asking you this question: how well do you know God? And for some people, it's maybe even a realization that asks this question: do you even know God? There are a lot of people in the world who know about God, and a lot of people who know a lot of stuff about God. But unfortunately, there's a lot of folks who know a lot about God that just isn't so. It's just not true. We hear people all the time talking and saying, well, the Bible says this, the Bible says that, and the Bible doesn't say any such thing. You see? Things that people have heard that they've always been told that just simply aren't so. There's a big difference, and what we're trying to do here is to really focus on knowing God in a relationship versus just simply knowing a lot of stuff about God, okay? You hear me talk about all the time, this is one of the things I emphasize, is having a personal relationship with God. We want to do that, but what we're trying to do with this series of lessons is really trying to raise the level of our relationship, if you will. Because what we're talking about here is interacting with God in some very valuable, significant ways. Okay? And by doing that, hopefully that takes our relationship with God to a new level, where we're not just simply, again, not just knowing about God, but we have a personal relationship with Him. But now what we're doing is we're trying to strengthen and build that personal relationship even more. Okay? So what we're doing, we want to focus on the idea of having not just information, but rather an experience with God that challenges our relationship to grow stronger more and more. Okay? I mentioned to you last week there are seven areas of interaction that we really need to have. And that's what we're focusing on in this series of lessons, all right? Last week we began this series talking about grace, okay? We're going to talk today about God's justice, all right? We're going to talk about discipline, about love, about sovereignty, about prayer, and finally about victory. All of these various areas of interaction that we can have with God that is intended to build and strengthen our personal relationship with Him. The other thing about this is what we're trying to do with this, not just gain this information for ourselves or a better relationship for ourselves, but it's also trying to point other people to a stronger relationship with Jesus. It's helping to change people's lives by telling them about Jesus. We talk about interactions. We want to have interactions with people in our Jerusalem, and we want to help them then to have interactions with Jesus in these same areas of their lives so that they too can experience a more personal relationship with Jesus. Okay, so today in this lesson, we're going to be talking about reflecting His justice, all right? Let's begin talking about what Paul refers to as a righteousness from God. What Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26, really is the solution to our biggest problem, which is, by the way, sin, okay? There is a solution to that, and that solution is God's justice. All right? Look at what he says, beginning in verse 21. But now a righteousness from God apart from law. In other words, it cannot be achieved by following the law of Moses. Okay? It is a righteousness from God apart from the law. And it has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. In other words, they had the law, and the law even testified to God's righteousness that would be apart from that very same law. All of the prophets testified about this righteousness that would come from God. This righteousness, he says, from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. As we've talked about many, many times here before, that word all leaves no exclusions whatsoever, does it? It involves everybody. Everyone, all of God's creation, all of humanity has the opportunity to experience this righteousness from God. Okay? We all need it because why? We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all, then, are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. That redemption, again, is available to all men, regardless of race, regardless of nationality, regardless of everything, regardless of whatever sins we have committed. That righteousness is available to all men, and all of us need it because, again, all of us have sinned. Look at verses 25 and 26. Let's pay attention to this part in particular. God presented Him, that is Jesus, as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice. So God presented Jesus as a sacrifice. What we just participated in a few moments ago here, this memorial sacrifice that Jesus gave for us, God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement, that is to atone for sin. And He did it to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance, look at this, He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. All of the sin that had been committed since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to the time of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection had been left unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So we need to get a handle on, we need to understand this idea of unpunished sin and punished sin, okay? Basically, what Paul is writing about here is the saying that we are declared not guilty by God. He declares us not guilty. How does that happen? Well, think about it this way. There's really only two choices, aren't there? You're either guilty or you're innocent. All right? Now, how many of us truly, from our heart of hearts, can say that we are innocent? Anybody? No. Not a one of us is innocent. We just saw a moment ago in verse 23 where he says, all of us have sinned. So, therefore, none of us are innocent. We are all, therefore, guilty. We're all guilty. Picture it this way. You've been taken before the judge, okay, for a crime that you are guilty of committing. Okay? No question that you're guilty. And the judge sentences you to jail. All right? Go directly to jail. You're guilty, you go to jail for it. But instead of you going to jail, even though you are guilty, someone else takes your place in prison. You're the guilty one, but someone else goes in your place. That's kind of like a get out of jail free card, isn't it? All right? Keep in mind, you're guilty. No question of that. Okay? It's not like, you know, you can, well, you know, there are some, you know, extenuating circumstances as to why I did what I did. That doesn't exist when it comes to sin, okay? It wasn't me, it was someone who looked like me. Okay? All the other excuses that we can come up with to try to say that we're not guilty when the reality is we are all guilty. Not a one of us is innocent of sin. So we all deserve death. We all deserve to be punished. But in God's justice, what Paul is talking about is that someone else paid the penalty in our place. Okay? Let me put it this way. Ask this question. Okay? Will the real criminal please stand up? I guess all of y'all feel like you're not criminals, huh? If you are a criminal as it comes to the law of Christ, please stand up. In other words, will you at least admit your guilt? That you are guilty of sin against God. That not a one of us can say we're not. Every single one of us should wear this sign on our shirt. Hello, I am guilty. Because we are. But Jesus is the one who paid the penalty for your guilt and mine. He atoned for our sins and paid our penalty in our place. You can sit down now. Recognize and acknowledge that you are guilty. The question then becomes, well, okay, what about this justice that God keeps talking about? Because as far as most of us understand, when it comes to justice, and we scream a whole lot about justice, don't we? When something goes wrong, when somebody wrongs us, we want justice, right? You see? We want whoever the guilty party is to pay, right? That's kind of how our world works, and that's how we want things to be. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, God wants justice also. He is a God of justice. But I want God's justice, not man's justice. Because we are all guilty, if we got justice, what we deserve, we talked about this last week, we were talking about grace, then all of us would be sent to hell. We still get justice because God is a God who demands justice. Okay? But it is God's justice. You say, well, how does that work? Well, let's understand what justification is, first of all. Simply put, to justify is to declare righteous, to make one right with God. Justification is God's declaring those who receive Christ to be righteous based on Christ's righteousness being imputed to the accounts of those who receive Christ. In other words, it is substitutionary. Christ, in His righteousness, took on our guilt and paid the penalty for our guilt in our place. Because the penalty has got to be paid. Okay? But what happens is, in justification, is that we are legally declared right or righteous before God. Understand, again, and I really want to emphasize this to you, God is a God of justice. He demands justice. And that requires that sin be punished. Okay? Are you following me? Sin has got to be punished. There's only two ways that happens. Every sin in the history of the world goes all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden. Every sin will either be punished in hell or in Christ Jesus. Now just let that sink in for a moment. Every sin. There's not but two options. It's either hell or it's Christ Jesus. But it must be punished. Because because God is just, he cannot leave sin unpunished. That would not be just. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? It's got to be punished one way or another. You and I have got to be punished for our sin. Otherwise, God is not just. But God, in his grace and mercy, chose a way for our sin to be punished. And that is through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why the scriptures talk about so much about being saved by faith in Christ Jesus. Because those who refuse to accept Jesus, their sin will be punished in hell. Period. There's no other way. But those who accept the blood of Jesus, their sin is punished in him. And we are therefore declared not guilty. You see? Not guilty. That's why Jesus is able to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way. There's only one. You see, Muhammad did not die for the sins of mankind. Neither did Buddha or anyone else. Except Jesus. That's why he is the only way. Because God sent him and only him to take on the penalty for your sins and mine. He didn't do that with anybody else. No one else throughout history is able to do that. Oh, lots of people have been crucified. It's a common method of execution in Jesus' day. But no crucifixion accomplished what the crucifixion of Jesus did, where he took on your sins and mine and paid the penalty that you and I owe to God for our sin. So therefore, he is the only way. Again, the only other option is for that sin to be punished in hell. And Paul then can say this: there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he has taken the penalty of our sin. And we are not condemned any longer. We are declared not guilty by God. Let's talk about justice demonstrated. Okay? The prophet Isaiah foretold some 700 years before Christ came along. He told about God's justice. Okay? And in Matthew chapter 12, Matthew records for us what Isaiah had said 700 years earlier about Jesus. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. Justice to the nations. That's what he came to proclaim. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. Remember the promise that God made to Abraham when he first called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Okay? Through you, or through your seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Okay? Jesus was the fulfillment of that promise. And he is, remains today, the hope of all nations. Because through him, and through him alone, do we have salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, by him paying the penalty in our place. Unpunished sins. In the Old Testament, there was what was referred to and what was called as the Day of Atonement. On your calendars today, you can see it as Yom Kippur. Okay? And what that holiday, what that celebration was all about, was basically a rolling back of sin. And what would happen on the Day of Atonement, there were two goats that were used. One goat, the high priest would take, and he would place his hands on the head of that goat and pronounce the sins of the people. And that goat would then be taken outside of the camp of Israel. That's where we get the term, by the way, a scapegoat. Okay? Where the sins of the people were pronounced on the goat and it was sent out of the camp, away from the people. And the other goat was used as a sacrifice. But the people understood that the sins were not forgiven under that sacrifice. They were just simply rolled back, or in other words, God saying, I'm not going to hold these against you for another year. Because this was an annual sacrifice that was required to be done. So all it did was just simply hold back the punishment for the sins that had been committed. It didn't remove the sins. It didn't take them away at all. And it didn't pay the penalty. It just simply held back the punishment until the time had come. Jesus then bore the sins of all men, as I've said before, all the way back to the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. Okay? God demonstrated justice by lifting Jesus up on the cross. When Jesus said, "It is finished," more than anything, he was referring to the penalty that had been paid for the sins of all mankind. It is finished. There is no more penalty to be paid. There's no more goats to be sacrificed, no more bulls, no more any of those things. And no one else has to die on the cross for the sins of mankind. It is finished. Jesus on one occasion said, "And I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Therefore God lifted him up on the cross. And the purpose of that was so that all men would be drawn to him and have the penalty of their sin, the punishment for their sin, paid in the death of Jesus. He took our place, in other words, on the cross, paying the penalty for all sin. Just let that sink in for a moment. Think for just a moment about your own sin in your life. I don't know about you, but to me, that's overwhelming. And he did that for every single person that has ever lived. Finally, let's talk about justice reflected. How can it be? I can't begin to comprehend what kind of grace would take the place for all my sins. When I saw that statement, I had to think about it a moment, and it just, thinking about the weight of just mine. Just my sins. I'm not even talking about any of you. Just my sins. He died on the cross for every single one of those, paid the penalty for every single one of my sins. And he did the same for you. Our interaction with God should reflect his justice toward us. In other words, do you really understand and comprehend what has been done for you? As you pray to God and you ask Him for forgiveness of your sins, do you understand what that's really saying? That you're asking for God to allow the blood of Jesus to pay the penalty that you otherwise would have to pay for that sin. Looking at it and understanding it that way should cause us to so much more appreciate what Jesus did for us on the cross. And thus, then, respond to Jesus in love and devotion, not just to Him, but to one another. How can I look at someone else and hold their sin against them when I recognize what God has done with my sins? Realizing that should cause us to have better relationship with one another in love. It's what God has told us to do, isn't it? We'll never really appreciate it until we understand the only alternative to Jesus is hell. That's the only other way that the penalty for sin could be punished. What an awesome, awesome God we have. Amen?
Amen?
That is Jesus and His justice. Remember, as I said, I hope you understand this. Punishment has got to be made for the sin. And Jesus, in His justice, He paid the penalty. He was punished for that sin. It cannot be left unpunished. So those who accept Jesus accept His payment for their sin. Those who refuse to accept Jesus are basically saying, I'm willing to go to hell to be punished for my sin, because that's the only other alternative there is. When we understand that, that should cause us to so much more appreciate the justice that God has and that He gave us through Jesus. You see, knowing God in this way really, truly does make all the difference in the world, doesn't it? When we truly understand what has been done for our sins, the penalty has been paid by Jesus. Chuck has a song that he has chosen for us to use as an invitation song. We use that as an opportunity for anyone that is here physically to come and to let us know what we might be able to do to help you out in some way. If there is sin that you're struggling with in your life, you need to repent of that sin. If we can help you to overcome that, we want to be able to do that. And if there's anyone here this morning who has not yet given your life to Christ, and you recognize and understand the only alternative for the penalty of your sin is hell, you're ready to give your life to Christ, you can do that right now. All you got to do is let us know, and we'll baptize you into Christ Jesus right now this morning. For those of you who are worshiping with us online this morning, you may have a prayer request that we can help you with. We're going to have the numbers on here. I think it is on the next slide there. Can we move that one? There we go. We have a phone number for Dale and also for Wes. Those of you who are online, if you have a prayer request, you can text either one of those numbers while we're having our invitation song, and let your prayer request be known to either one of them, and we will answer that prayer request this morning. And again, for those who are worshiping with us online, if there's someone out there who maybe the message this morning has caused you to really seriously think about your situation with the fact that you're not in Christ, that you're lost. But the great news is that Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sins. If you're ready to accept the blood of Jesus for the payment of your sins and to become a child of God, then confess Jesus as Lord, repent of your sins, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. That's what the Bible tells us we need to do. And if you're ready to make that commitment, all you need to do is to let us know. You can text either Dale or Wes. You can let us know, and we will make whatever arrangements need to be made as soon as possible so that you can become a child of God and have your sins washed away. All you have to do is let us know. Chuck, if you'll come up and lead us in song, let's stand together and sing, and if we can answer your prayer request in any way, please let us know.